I clicked on it. I said, "Oh, this sounds really cool." And then I was kind of waiting for a few seconds for it to load, and I said, "Never mind."
Generating.
Roll for host. 14.
6.
14.
Ooh, re-roll. Roll off.
Reroll.
Dun, 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 dun.
12.
Bah!
8.
Welcome. I host again. Welcome to the Escort Mission Podcast with Chaz, Mike, and Josh. I am Chaz. How are you, Mike?
I'm doing well, Chaz.
How are you, Josh?
I'm well.
It's been a good week, I think. It was finally starting to cool off a little bit, although Jessica told me, my wife, that it's going to be like 100 on Friday.
Yep.
That sucks. I was so happy that it was finally.
You know what? That is a bad temperature. I don't like that temperature. That temperature needs to go away. I feel strongly about this.
Are you talking about this Friday?
Yeah.
This coming Friday or last?
This coming Friday. Like, it is going to go back up to an incredibly high temperature. I know. It's so brutally. It has been.
It's really
brutally
humid. Yeah. Though. Is it gonna not get not humid?
I don't know.
Friday?
That whole like it's a dry heat stuff is bullshit. Like, I hate it when it's hot. When it's humid, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I
just don't. Hot is hot.
It's way way worse when it's humid, and we don't get that here.
A little bit.
But hot is hot.
It's a little worse.
Hot
it's not,
is not
way
awesome.
Worse.
Like a million times worse.
But if you don't ever experience it, then it doesn't impact, and therefore it doesn't matter.
But it's way worse, Chaz. So much worser.
If I had to deal with it, I probably would agree, but I don't. I only have to deal with hot or not hot. So somebody saying, it could be a shitload worse, is like, my hand's been cut off. That sucks. Well, your hand and your leg could have been cut off, and that'd be way worse.
It would be
like,
way
my fucking
worse,
hand!
Way worse.
Anyway, Mike, how's your week been?
Well, I said I'm
thanks
doing
for blowing on the mic,
yeah,
by the way.
Testing the lack of pop filter and... my week has been okay, but I can't say the same for my wife. I'll keep it brief, but let's just say that I spent some time in the emergency room the past couple days. My wife suffers from migraines, unfortunately. She got hit with some pretty bad ones, like never been to the ER for one before, so this was pretty bad. She's doing okay right now, but yeah, that's not fun, driving to the ER at 4 a.m. in the morning and then doing it again at 5 a.m. the next morning.
Ugh.
So,
what do they do? Is there, like, can they do something? Is it, like, industrial painkillers or...
Well, yeah, the problem with migraines, as far as I know, as far as current technology is that they're, everybody has different migraines. It's almost, well, I don't know if it's like cancer, but it's similar to where you can't just say, you know, solve the cancer problem,
right,
because there's
yeah.
so many different kinds. People experience it differently.
Different triggers.
Yeah, migraines are the same way. They're not fully understood. Lots of people get them at different frequencies, different intensities. Their triggers are different. So there is medicine that you can take that prevents them if you start to feel them coming on. And mm-hmm. that's usually for people who... get them a lot so they have the medicine. Other people, you know, maybe they could just, you know, drink some caffeine, take a shower, I don't know, get some food, get some
myriad,
fresh air.
Myriad, like, suggested home remedies
yeah.
that may or may not work.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. it's really kind of, it depends on the person. So, but at the point that we were at, it's too late, and there's no migraine med that fixes it, you know.
Yeah.
So instead, they just have to treat the pain. And the thing is, hey, there's the show dog. They treat the pain like any other pain. Hey, show dog, come down here, Penny. Come here.
Penny and the Jets.
That's our collie, Penny. She was barking to say, hey, I want to be on the podcast too. So they give you some painkillers and, you know, set you up with an IV, and thankfully, you know, it abated both times, but, it came back and, like, okay, but it didn't come back this morning, and so we didn't go, and I don't know, we'll see. It's hard to say whether it will come back that strong or what exactly caused it to be that bad this
yeah.
time. There's a myriad of reasons, but so I've never been to the
it sounds like, if I may say, the goddamn worst thing in the world, like excruciating pain that is literally inside your skull.
Well, she could have also had her arms and legs cut off, so it wasn't that bad.
I know, but like anything else that hurts, you, if it hurt bad enough, like if it's that bad, they literally amputate it and then it's not connected to your body anymore.
Right. Cutting her head off could
that
be
doesn't work. Like it's
problematic.
Just well, like would, if you were to
it
design,
it would stop the pain, though.
I mean, it would stop the pain. Yeah.
It would also so cease
technically
life.
It would work.
But if you were to design like the worst pain you could cause someone to feel, it would probably basically be a migraine. Like I'm going to cause your brain to hurt.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, I've had headaches, but I know that even my worst headache is probably not as bad as like a low grade migraine, and it's very localized, and it tends to like, you know, travel like. Robin was saying that it was around her eye, mm-hmm. like her whole eye socket hurt, and it kind of traveled down your neck and your shoulder and
it
your
moves
back.
Moves around.
Yeah, it's somewhat. It's like a really strong guy just in your body, like, you know, grappling your nerves as strong as they can and not letting go, kind of a thing. I'm like, ugh. Anyway, so that blew.
Yeah, that sucks.
I feel really bad for her. She was a trooper through the whole thing, though, because I can't imagine the pain she was in, and she's, you know, they doped her up on so many different drugs that I've never even heard of, like, and yet, you know, she's still here, and she's still, you know, keeping optimistic about it. So, the only other news, really, that's going on that I noticed was Steam Greenlight, their indie program. They approved their first 10 games.
Yes.
A couple of them which I recognized, like, from elsewhere. So they're not like all originals just for Steam, but I guess that's cool. Have you guys?
They're new to Steam.
Yeah. Have you guys?
Yeah. Did you look on check? It?
Do you have the list?
I don't have the list, no.
As soon as they announced it, I went on there and I, you know, glanced at what they had, and I was potentially going to upvote some things. Actually, I might have upvoted some things or whatever. You know, thumbs up or whatever. Like, yeah, give this one a green light. And I very quickly saw how easy it was for
exploiting
for folks to troll it and have like fake ones. There were some that had like no screenshots and really terrible descriptions. Mm-hmm. They were really obviously like not a real game.
Yeah,
they were just joking around or whatever. And so they did institute that $100 fee since then, because it was an issue, and I do think it was necessary.
Yeah.
$100 is pretty nominal, and it's pretty standard for everybody else in the industry.
It's like, if you thought that there was a lot of shit on the App Store, just imagine that it costs no money to join the Apple developer program to make it. Yeah, same deal.
The one that I was aware of was Black Mesa, which I'm actually pretty excited about.
Yeah, that does look cool.
Yeah, which is like a mod in the Source Engine of the original Half-Life 1. I don't know if it's a mod. It's like a reimagined, updated, refreshed, fan-made version of Half-Life 1. In the Source Engine with pretty new graphics and actually new levels and new voice acting and stuff.
Yeah.
So that one looks pretty legit.
Yeah, it does look cool. Other games that I... So I mentioned The Sims FreePlay, which when I came home after walking the dog, I saw that Josh was watching my wife play. I'm still playing that. I'm sorry.
I recently learned that it was like way worse than I previously thought. Man, that game is bad.
Oh yeah, no, it's horrible. You can only understand the appeal if you're playing it. Otherwise, it looks like
so
poison.
Evil.
So to add to that, I also started playing The Simpsons Tapped Out, which is exactly the same game with the Simpsons license.
Why are you doing this?
It's actually kind of funny, and you know, it's The Simpsons. It's cute. It's cuter in that you like The Simpsons, so it preys on your love of The Simpsons, but it's exactly the same game.
We need to boycott these games.
Ton of Tiny Tower. How can you even say that?
Don't play these games. But
I'm the only one who has
them.
Credibility when it comes to this, because I played Tiny Tower for 3 minutes and said, fuck that.
I didn't give them any money.
Oh, I haven't given them any money either.
Robin did.
Right, and I scolded her for it. But to her credit, it was all like probably free gift cards from friends' money, so it wasn't out of her own pocket.
That is technically your money. Like, once someone gives you money,
yeah, you are the same being.
But it wasn't money that she earned. So it's different from money given. Anyway, some other games that I checked out. So Dishonored is coming out next month.
So it is.
And I'm really looking forward to that. And in anticipation of that, they released an iOS game called Dishonored Rat Assassin, which, if you've ever played Fruit Ninja, is basically Fruit Ninja, except it's rat assassin ninja instead of fruit ninja. So, like, rats will run across the screen in different formations, and you have to swipe them, and you get points, and you try to beat your times, or you beat your score, or whatever. So that's a fun little time waster. And it's doing exactly what it's supposed to, which is getting me more jazzed about playing the game.
Does it feed into the game at all?
I know there are rats in the game, and there are
blades
that you can use to swipe.
But it's not like, for example, like when Fable 2 came out, they had Fable pub games where if you played them, you got gold that you could then use.
Yeah,
I
think it's completely separate, and it's just kind of a fun little. It's kind of surprisingly deep for a free, you know, time waster. But on the other hand, it's also, you know, a time waster.
So I think that in the game you can like possess rats to move around the city, and therefore you're probably in Rat Assassin, you're probably playing as a guy trying to prevent super secret hero guy from being able to use them.
Like, I guess.
Exterminate
I don't know.
The rats.
The rats appear on the screen, and I swipe them away as fast as possible, and they explode into little bloody giblets. That's all I know. That's what the game is. Occasionally use a crossbow to tap them, but you mainly swipe. A very good game that from a guy that I met on Reddit who's also a musician-composer who took a year and learned... just taught himself how to do iOS programming, made a puzzle game called Polymer, which, Chaz, you've seen this, so you know what I'm talking about.
I bought it.
It's a cool little kind of tile matching game where you move tiles around and you try to make the biggest polymer, because much like in, say, dominoes or a puzzle, only certain pieces fit with other certain pieces to make a longer piece, and then you can tap it and you get points, and... there starts off with a two-minute thing, so you try to do that as many in 2 minutes. There's a one-polymer mode where you try to make the longest one you can with no time limit, so you get to, like, AP the shit out of that until you make the perfect, you know, polymer. So that's pretty fun. The soundtrack is also really good and really chill and interesting, and I actually heard that first because he gave away some codes on Reddit for it, and that made me buy the game, like... once again, the soundtrack to a game got me so into the game that I wanted to buy it, which I hadn't necessarily been thinking about buying before, so I recommend that.
It's good.
I checked out the Mark of the Ninja demo on Xbox Live. For some reason, I apparently follow the blog of the guy who works on this, because one time earlier this week, he's like, hey, my game is out. I'm like, oh, right, I guess you're working on a game.
He's the guy who made Shank.
Shank, right. I follow his blog. I didn't even know I was following that guy, but that's a pretty sweet game.
It looks rad.
Yeah, I played through the demo, and it's a lot like Shank in terms of the graphics and kind of the gameplay, but much more stealthy and less just, you know, you can kill everything on the screen, or you can not kill anything, and you try to hide in the shadows, and you try to, you know, you can only kill a dude if you sneak up on him, basically. If you try to attack him, you know, directly, he'll block the crap out of you, and it's, like, almost impossible to actually kill him. So it really behooves you to sneak throughout the entire level, and that's also very recommended.
I've heard nothing but good things about that game, and in particular, I heard that the stealth action is helped immensely by the fact that it is 2D, mm-hmm. which I think makes sense. I think 3D stealth games are much more difficult to make good, so I think I'm looking very forward to trying it.
I mean, I'm thinking of Metal Gear Solid. Like, that's a great third person sneak game. I think, like, the Splinter Cell games are known for being good at that.
I think
Thief,
like, a couple,
is really good.
A couple of those are known for being good, and a lot of them are known for being pretty not good, or just, like, thrown off, kind of.
Yeah, I don't know, just because it's an extra
frequently
dimension, it's harder to...
Frequently games that, like, throw in a stealth level, much as they throw in an escort mission level, don't do it well, right? Yeah. So.
That was actually our second choice for name of podcast, Stealth Levels. No, it wasn't. that's a horrible name. I'm still playing FF13.
Are you past tunnel mode?
I'm not past tunnel mode.
How many paradigms have you shifted?
I've shifted quite a few paradigms. The paradigm shifting, in case you don't know, the Final Fantasy 13 combat system is basically make a... like, each character can have a role, like, for sake, for instance, Commando, which is basically the, you know, melee attack. And so if you choose that role and you say, you know, auto combat, do your attack, you know, they will choose from a list of attacks mainly. Or you could make them a medic, for instance, and they'll mainly do healing things. Or you can be a I forget another one.
Some range
saboteur or something, or fizzy, something like that, where you do status ailment kind of stuff. Well, the thing is that you can make sets of these. You can, all the characters in your group, you can choose a role for each of them, and then you can make that a group, and they call that a paradigm. And you can shift between any of these paradigms in the middle of combat almost instantaneously. So you might start out with the status ailment paradigm and get everybody weakened and boost your guys up, and then you'll switch to like the full-on attack one, and you'll attack for a while. You might get hit, you switch to the healing one, and you'll do healing stuff, and then you'll go back to the attack, and then once the status of ailments, you know, wear off, you'll go back to that. And you can go back and forth between all these, and you can make your own and say, I want them to have these abilities, and I want this person to do these things, and then just switch between them at will.
So it's like a class for the whole party.
Yeah, it's like a macro system.
Yeah.
Well, each character is, really cool. Is their own thing, and right. You get three characters.
Right.
And so you might start the fight with like two buffers and one debuffer, and then once they've all casted some spells or whatever, switch to a tank and two DPSs, a magic DPS and melee. And then as soon as you need some healing, switch to like two DPSers and a healer or something like that.
Yeah.
Et cetera. It's pretty rad. I like it a lot.
It's sort of like, instead of micromanaging your group in the middle of battle, you micromanage them outside of the battle, and then they're all like kind of ready and set up, and then you just switch between them.
I actually spent like no time outside of the battle micromanaging. It's like it's purely optional, as far as I recall.
Yeah.
I just spent the time changing the group paradigm during the fights.
Yeah, as we said last time, they simplify a lot and they streamline a lot. They set up all of the paradigms for you. You know, you don't have to customize anything, and everything they do is pretty optimal. So it's still pretty, it's not on easy mode anymore. I'm definitely dying sometimes during battles that, you know, it's getting a little more strategic where I have to pay attention, but it's like so well made, which, like I said, has this really weird double-edged sword where it's awesome because I feel like I'm playing this like highly polished like sports car, but at the same time I'm like, well, you know, I feel like the game is playing itself sometimes, you know, and I'm merely along for the ride, and it knows what's best. And I really, if I try to screw with anything, I'm probably just going to make something suboptimal. So I should just leave everything on the defaults. That's still cool. I'm about like 8 hours in.
It's interesting. That's something interesting with game design, where, for example, when I play Forza, the setup that they give you for the car is pretty good, but I always know that if I'm good at tuning the car, I will extract extra performance out of it. And I think that's what you want to feel in any of those systems. You want to feel like there's something to be gained by going in deeper. And if a game doesn't give you the sense, if the game gives you the sense that like this is about as good as it gets, like you shouldn't really spend any time exploring the breadth of the mechanics that we've made available, that's probably a negative.
And
which I'm not necessarily saying that this does, but just in a more general sense.
Right. And I'll counter with basically what Josh said, is that it's a long burn, and it does intentionally start out easy, and it's only slowly getting harder and more complicated and more tactical. And, you know, I feel like I may be 1 or 2 hours into the part where I'm actually having to think about my battles.
Yeah.
So it's still way too early, and I'm still in the kind of tunnel, haven't gotten to an overworld, I can go anywhere kind of thing yet. So, yeah.
I like your point, though. That is where, you know, the difficulty usually excels in the games where default is good, but you can do better if you spend a lot of time.
Yeah.
You know, like your default build in Guild Wars, or not just in the tuning of the cars in Forza, but even in the way you drive them. If you leave it on automatic transmission, it's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
If you change it to manual, you can shift a little bit faster once you're good at it.
Yep.
If you change it to manual with clutch, you can shift even a little bit faster if you're good at it, to eke out a tiny bit extra performance, but it's more difficult.
And so it's fun, but it encourages you to explore the
exactly.
Mechanics.
It's brilliant.
Yeah. I'm hoping that I will reap more from my customization, but so far I feel like what it gives you works pretty well.
It's good.
So.
Yeah. But you're quite early, so yeah.
Cool. I also got a game that I'm might switch over for a little bit just for some variety. I got Max Payne 3 in the mail from GameFly,
uh-huh.
because I played through the first game and
this
liked
is the
it.
New Rockstar.
Yeah, this is the one where Max Payne is like a fucking like depressing drunk.
Drug
like,
addict.
Apparently, it's very depressing, and you like it. It's very hard to like him this time around, or something. Well, I'm not sure he was ever a super likable character, but
it's the painkillers, right? Like your health pack in Max Payne's 1 and 2 was popping meds,
right?
Right. There wasn't like a health pack or bandages or something. It was you literally take painkillers and ignore your wounds.
Right.
That was their deal. So now. You know, Rockstar's take is this guy's probably fucking addicted to oxycodone at this point, and so let's play with that from a story perspective.
Yeah, so I'll probably play that a little bit and talk about that next week. Two more things. I watched Booth at the End, all of it. Fucking brilliant. Oh my god, watch that show.
Mm-hmm.
Completely agree with everything Josh said good about it.
It's
I don't
really
think
good, right?
Bad. It's
is it all on like even season one?
There's two
yeah,
seasons.
Yeah, there's only like 5 episodes per season or something.
Yeah, there's two
and
seasons
there's
up right
two.
Now.
Yeah. The second season just aired like in the last 5 weeks or so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like it just finished, I think. I haven't finished it yet. But yeah, the last season was maybe a year ago or something.
Yeah.
And it's good.
I burned through the whole thing. The second season is just as good as the first one. The dialogue in that, I mean, obviously, because that whole show is dialogue, you know, it's just people talking for the whole time. It's so good and so riveting and just gets you hooked. Whereas playing FF13, the dialogue is so shitty in comparison.
Yeah.
It's just like you're on your 13th iteration and it's still just the same old, like, overly dramatic, stereotypical characters for the most part. And I watch one episode of that show and I'm like, oh, this is what riveting, interesting writing is like. I missed that.
Yep.
Yeah, it's super interesting. It's almost just, to me, the show
it's
feels...
It's like a play. It's like a really well-done play.
It's like a play or it's like a study in character acting.
Yeah.
It almost feels like an exercise, like you're watching inside the actor's studio and you're just watching... You're watching people improvise or something. It's a little bit like masturbatory or like self-indulgent, mm-hmm. you know.
it's like,
but
yeah,
none of
we
those
can
things...
write dialogue. You're gonna listen to our fucking dialogue and love it,
right? Right.
Eat it.
And the whole thing takes place in this diner at the same booth. The
yeah.
entire thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But all those things that I just said that sound like they could be bad are actually good about the show.
Yeah.
It's not bad because of those things. It's actually.
Yeah,
entertaining.
The conceit seems boring, but the conversations they have and the things that they reference, like all the action is happening off screen, but the way they talk about it is great, and it never leaves you like, oh god, I wish they would have shown them doing that. It's perfect the way they do it. So,
nice.
And also, one last thing. This is my shame of the week. Beyond playing free to play games like a crazy person. So PSY has this song out, this Korean dance pop
Oppa
band.
Gangnam Style.
Oppa Gangnam Style. So I've been hearing memes like or seeing memes on this on the internet like for weeks, and I'm like, what the hell is this shit? So I'm like, all right, I'm finally gonna educate myself.
That shit has 80 million views.
And I watched it, and this I love it.
And it's old too.
Oh my god! Yeah. Well, and it's his sixth album. I mean, because he's only been in Korea up until this point, but this is sort of like his crossover hit. And
I wouldn't say it's a crossover hit. It is a hit that has happened to blow up in the West just because it's so nuts.
Okay, well, he
but
also
it's not like a crossover.
He
attempt.
Also just got hired, or he just got signed by an American record production or uh-huh. record studio. So I think you're going to be hearing a lot more of this guy
because Bieber likes him, right?
Yeah, well, no, it's
gonna,
Justin Bieber's.
He's going to tour with
label
Bieber
or whatever. I don't know.
Oh my god!
I think well the way I
it's
researched
so dumb.
It,
I love it.
The way I researched it after seeing enough memes and then watching the video was that I saw that Katy Perry, Justin Bieber, Britney Spears, and some other folks all like tweeted a link to his video independently over a few days saying, this is so great in you know, one or another words.
Yeah.
It's really there's nothing revolutionary about it. It's a pretty typical dance you know, video, but it's silly and
it's very silly.
It's just a very, yeah, it doesn't take itself seriously at all. And so it's really hard to hate it, even if you are going on the, oh, this is dumb and it's been done and there's nothing new under the sun about this video. Why does everybody give a shit about it? So you really have to like push that aside and just say, oh, it's a silly video. It's fun. You know,
I think it's G-A-N-G-A-M. Or gang.
It's G-A-N-G-N-A-M. Gangnam. Right. Which is referring to a region in Korea, which is like super, you know, hip and fashion conscious. And it's sort of like making fun of it by going over the top.
Yeah.
But it's all in Korean, so I have no idea, you know, what he's saying. And that doesn't matter because it's just a funny video.
Yeah. It's like they ride horses. Yeah. So I'm doing a horse movement.
He does the horsey dance, and that's the thing that everybody does.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's good stuff.
Yeah,
unless you hate things that are fun,
it's pretty fun. It's also pretty annoying.
It's annoyingly
dumb.
It's
fun
to
watch the video, but if you just heard the song, you would turn that shit off.
It's great. Like Friday is great.
Yeah, it's great in a very Friday type.
Yeah,
type way.
I don't know. I almost feel like that's insulting it. I think it's slightly above Friday because Friday is actually horrible. This is just
I don't know.
Normal.
I legitimately like Friday a little bit. Am I the only one?
Yeah. Like, I don't hate Friday.
Right.
I actually find Friday less annoying than I would. Like, just listening to
the
music,
that's what I'm saying.
Friday would be less annoying than...
I don't know. Yeah. This is not something I'm willing to spend time arguing. They're both dumb songs.
There's a fine line between, you know, super annoying and super interesting.
But it is legitimately funny in that you can tell that he meant it to be tongue-in-cheek.
Yes.
Whereas Friday is funny because, like... Oh, this is pretty bad, and it's funny how bad it
that's
is.
That's true.
It's
that's
only
true.
Funny.
The intent
for,
was different.
Yeah, yeah. His aim, you can tell his aim was to be awesomely stupid, whereas her aim was to, I don't know.
Explosions and like a mini him doing the same dance.
Which kind of reminds me of Chang from
Sports
Community.
Sports cars. And,
so, anyway, good stuff.
Yeah, I'm going to throw it to Josh, but before I do, I'm going to remind our listeners to please tell a friend, review the show on iTunes, buy stuff through our Amazon link, and all those show supporting
TheEscortMission.com.
That you can do. Yes, send us mail.
Go there. Do
What's
stuff.
Up, Josh?
I have virtually nothing to say about like my week and things happening because
Guild Wars 2.
Yeah, my week was Guild Wars 2 happening. So and you know I don't want to bore you with a million things I could say about Guild Wars 2. I can tell you what I would have gotten to if I didn't play Guild Wars 2.
I think
I would have played Mark of the Ninja. I would have gotten Closure because, you know, I wanted to get Closure ages ago when it came out on PSN. Turns out it did terribly on PSN, and the guy had to rush to release it on Steam. Mm. So
what's the deal with that? I don't know what that is.
It's just a really good 2D side-scrolling puzzle game of some kind.
Ah.
It's a little silhouette-y. People compare it to Limbo, but it's supposedly not a lot like Limbo, even though everybody says that.
Hmm.
It looks super interesting. It got phenomenal reviews, and it went under the radar. It didn't get promoted by anyone, and the reviews didn't provoke a lot of interest, I guess. But I was super interested, because it could be like a sleeper braid or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I was lending my PS3 out, so I couldn't get it. So, Charles,
Dick.
You should download Closure.
God,
how
long have you had that thing? Months and months.
Well, I don't know.
I have been playing some more Shadow of the Colossus, by the way.
Cool, that's good.
I got back into that.
Download Closure and try it. Okay. You tell me how it is instead.
And use Josh's account and his credit card.
I have been doing that. I've been buying games.
Exactly. Continue.
Continue exploiting his finances.
No, I paid him for the ones I bought. So
okay. All right. Well, that's not as funny.
Anyway, that looks great, but I can't say anything about it. I also
bought plane tickets through his PSN account.
Real estate.
Yeah.
So instead of just waxing on about like my favorite builds in Guild Wars or something like that, do you guys want to ask me anything about it? Anything you're curious about?
One thing I would like to mention or to ask about is what we discussed briefly over lunch, which is that you're playing mostly the PvP, which I thought was interesting.
So I rotate. So there's basically three components of the game. There's the PvE, which is kind of like the WoW leveling game from 1 to 80 or whatever. And there's the world v world, which really hasn't been done in a lot of games. It's similar to the realm versus realm from Dark Age of Camelot, which is highly referenced in the MMO community as being like the best large scale, player versus player combat in any MMO. From this game that not a ton of people played, but everybody who was a fan of that style of large-scale battle, they all played that game, apparently. Mm-hmm. So this game does that, and it's really interesting. It's huge. Three servers are pitted against each other at any given time, and like 100 or 200 people or something, I don't know the exact numbers, from every server are all on this map at the same time and trying to take each other's keeps, like infiltrate each other's castles and knock down the doors. And like, you literally have to protect your supply lines of Dolyak, like camel caravans, mm-hmm. in order to...
What is that?
It's like it's a fictional camel.
Okay. I just call them camels.
Because they're called Dolyaks.
Oh, right. Okay. call.
So you have to protect your supply lines. You have to like build siege weapons and man the cannons and the tar and hot oil tipping things in front of your doors, uh-huh. that people literally have to beat on the door for a while to get it open to take down your
castle?
Keep or whatever. Anyway, that's super cool. I haven't spent a lot of time in there yet because it's maybe a little more hardcore. It also has some queue times. Because there's a limited number of people that can be in there because it's like this persistent one instance per server at any given time thing.
Does that mean it never ends?
It resets once. Right now, I think it resets once a day. It's planned to reset like once a week, where they reassign you like a laddering scheme, like your StarCraft II ranking, where all the different servers get pitted against servers of relatively equal performance, you know? So that's kind of hardcore. I haven't spent a lot of time in there yet, but it is something I'll get to. Also, obviously, I'll get to the end of the PvE, you know, campaign or whatever. I'll get to 80. But the thing that I've been doing a lot for the last few days that's quick and fun is the 8-on-8 structured PvP matches, which is what Charles was asking
about.
It's
weird, because that doesn't surprise me at all. That's what I think would interest you the most, because A, that's like Mass Effect 3 and multiplayer in a way, and B, that's what Guild Wars 1 was all about, basically. That's all you talked about was PvP.
It's the lasting thing, yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, I have been into Mass Effect 3 multiplayer recently. So there's 8-on-8 matches that are easy and quick to join. There's a server browser, almost like Counter-Strike, where you just join this match that has 14 or 16 slots full. And you know, the matches are maybe 10 minutes long or something, and then that randomizes the teams to make it even, and you go to a new map, and the maps are really interesting. There's underwater combat on one of the maps where you capture this underwater point in the center, and if you control it, then all the sharks that spawn are are friendly to you, and uh-huh. they bite the shit out of the opponents.
Do they have freaking lasers?
No. until they try to capture that underwater point. So uh-huh. once you control that, it's really easy to defend with like one guy there, uh-huh. because anybody that comes to try to take it from him will get mauled by him and all the sharks simultaneously, you know. And there's even like siege weapons and stuff in those modes. You can uh-huh. man cannons and catapults, trebuchets. Yeah, you can launch these trebuchets, and you get like basically almost like PvP kill points just for like landing successful trebuchet shots. It's super rad. And you can go destroy the enemy's trebuchet so that they can't mm-hmm. man it, and then they can find a supply thing to rebuild it if they want.
Can you aim a trebuchet at a trebuchet?
It's quite a long distance from trebuchet to trebuchet on that map, and I haven't tried it. I haven't spent a lot of time in the trebuchet. I've spent a lot of time murdering people in the trebuchet.
Match.
but yeah, because every skill is unlocked, all the in-game armor is unlocked, it's like fair, it's like an e-sport, it's like instant level playing field. It's so much fun to jump in, have access to all these different characters, all these different builds, all these different abilities, and just play, make a new build and try out a new character without having to level it. Because any other game in this genre of like MMO
style
combat, you know, you have to level up you have to invest a huge amount of time to try something new. And WoW, you have to get to like level 20, 30, 40, 50. And it's still going to be really, really different from by the time you get to 60, 70, or 80 or whatever. So it takes like hundreds of hours, literally maybe, just to see how well a paladin does at level 85 in WoW, like end game PvP combat. And in this game, all you have to do is buy the game and log in and make a character and then go to the PvP area and play with an equivalent build to the best players in the world.
Yeah.
It's like StarCraft or whatever.
Yeah. Everyone's starting with the same tool set.
Yeah. And which, it's kind of surprising there aren't more games like it, right? The closest you can get is League of Legends and and that whole genre, right? But I don't like that genre quite as much because it's top-down, mouse-controlled, and it's like...
A round takes an hour.
A round takes an hour instead of like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, it's just different. And there's not a lot of games like this that don't require hundreds of hours of investment. Mm-hmm. And... Even if it did require hundreds of hours of investment, it's still like it's top tier among MMO PvP combat. Maybe the best. It's really, really good.
Sweet.
Awesome.
I gotta say, particularly the world versus world stuff, I'm totally into, just because it sounds like, you know, all the science fiction I ever read about that, you know, about what was coming. It just, it sounds so cool. I want things to go in that direction just because it's neat.
It's super cool. There's basically one spawn point for you. And so you're very invested in surviving, unlike structured PvP where you die, you respawn, right? This one, you know, you literally might have to run for 5 minutes or more to get back to where you were when you died, right? Mm-hmm. And you might not even be able to get there because you might have snuck behind enemy lines or something, mm-hmm. and they're now, it's blocked off or something. And you should, so you really want to stick with the team. You want to, retreat from battles that you know you're going to lose. You know, you don't want to just run and gun and get yourself killed. You need to, like, use a build that's very evasive and defensive, you know, not just DPS heavy. The DPS heavy builds are really fun in the structured PvP where it's low risk, but they're super risky to play in World v. World.
Is the World v. World an esport as well, or is it use your normal character?
It's kind of halfway in between. It's closer to PvE. It basically uses your PvE character and whatever skills you've unlocked in the game and whatever gear you have in the game, but it does auto-scale your stats to level 80. So you're virtually, you know, on par with everyone else in there, except you are still kind of a little gimped if you don't have all your abilities unlocked yet. I mean, if you unlock the exact abilities you want for a good build... then you could have, you know, you could be really, really close to on par at level 30, which I got a character to 35 or so. But if you're like at level 10, you would only have like 7 out of your 10 abilities even usable.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, your gear gets better a little bit, even though your stats are auto scaled to 80. But so you're pretty close. But in that mode, you actually earn XP, so you could level in that mode. You earn game money, so you can buy stuff from the auction house from just spending time in that mode, et cetera. While the structured PvP thing, it's completely separate. You don't earn money. You don't earn XP. You earn the glory points and this whole like PvP ranking up system for cosmetic gear. Right. And there's 80 ranks and tons of sets of cosmetic armor that are all like previewable in the armor collection tab that you can see everything grayed out that you haven't unlocked and say, that armor's friggin' awesome. I probably have to play for 6 months to get that armor or whatever. Yeah. Cool. Super cool.
Nice.
Nice, nice. So, things I did, starting with games, I have two games to recommend. Well, not necessarily recommend, but to talk about that have the word Hex in them. One of them is HexGL, which is notable only because it is a pretty credible Wipeout clone in HTML5 and JavaScript and CSS. Like, it plays in a browser. It's a Chrome app, I believe, and so it can get hardware acceleration.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, just plays in a browser, but it's Wipeout. It's pretty cool. It's worth checking out for, like, 2 seconds. It's not, you know, wouldn't want to sit there and play the whole game, but it'll actually, like, crush your graphics card pretty hard and... You know, 60 frames a second, cool little Wipeout thing in a browser. So that's neat.
I saw that. It's cool. I tried it for a little less than 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Nice.
1.8 seconds.
I think it would load by then.
Okay. Also,
yeah, that's true. I did not let it complete loading. I clicked on it. I said, oh, this sounds really cool. And then I was kind of waiting for a few seconds for it to load. And I said, never mind.
Yeah, I played.
So the loading screen was kind of neat.
It was one of those things where you appreciate the effort. You appreciate the intent.
You just didn't want to play a racing game.
I can appreciate the art without experiencing it.
Yeah. So anyway, it's worth checking out if you're, you know, just want to check out
loading screens.
Web, you know, web nerdiness. Also good, very good with the word hex in it is Super Hexagon.
Did you try this game?
Yeah, Terry Cavanaugh.
No, I watched the video and I was like, no, I'll last
what?
5 seconds.
Are you serious?
No.
I've got it.
It was anxiety producing just watching it being played.
I was instantly sold on this being a phenomenal game and
I'm sure
wish
I would
it
suck
were on
at
Android
it
right
and
now,
and
but
not,
it's not
all right,
on
we'll
Android
play
yet.
It after
we'll
the
play it
show.
After the show. Okay. Yeah, Terry Cavanaugh, who did six V's, made this game. It's a puzzler, very unlike, I wouldn't say, it's like a Twitch puzzler, like very highly Twitch-based action.
It's like a maze on steroids.
Action puzzler maze type game. Yeah. Roughly speaking, you're a thing and you're trying to avoid getting hit by walls, basically, walls that rush at you.
Walls are death.
Really, really great soundtrack. Very, I wouldn't necessarily say anxiety producing. It is a game that I have found you have to zone out to play. You have to be in the kind of like headspace where you're just reacting quickly to things and not thinking about them. So it's kind of like Tetris in that respect. The Tetris. Oh, speaking of that, I'll have to.
Except
talk about
you'll
that.
Die in like 5 seconds in this game, most likely.
I did literally die within 2 seconds of starting the game the first time, but my high score is like 31 seconds.
Nice.
So. You can actually get there. Nice. But that is on the easiest level, which is called difficulty hard. And so there's hard, harder, and super freaking hard. And it's fun. It's really good. Great music, fun, cool, like electro pop kind of sensibility and graphic style.
Does the music track that plays when you start it repeat as soon as you die, or does it constantly play in the background?
It's interesting, and I don't actually know. Because
if it repeated, that would seem annoying. Because you keep hearing the same thing over and over again.
I don't think it's either.
Unless it's awesome.
I don't think it's either of those. It is different, but it seems like it skips to different parts of the song. It may well just be that the song is weird enough that I can't tell that it's just playing straight through. But it feels like it's. It wants you to hear most of the song. So what I would say is I think each time you start, it starts with the same like little beginning 4 bars or something, but then it moves into a different part of the song. Hmm. And so maybe there are lots of versions that they're all
that's
same
cool.
kind of, I don't know how to describe it exactly,
that's
but
brilliant.
It's not the same every time.
It.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So that's really good. Super Hexagon. Check it out. Another game I played is, McPixel. Which was
I remember that
sponsored.
One.
It's a sponsored Pirate Bay game. So the Pirate Bay famous torrent sharing site has started like you know a
also
band will
pirates
say
hang out.
Yes, a band will say you know here's our album we want it to be free and this you know occasionally they do it with games and if you want to come pay for it please do but otherwise just take it for free. They had this was a sponsored Pirate Bay game. I don't know how to describe it. It's actually a lot like Super Amazing Wagon Adventure, which I mentioned last week, in terms of the art style, which is very low res 8-bit, like less than 8-bit, like Amiga style, chunky graphics. But the play is like each, there are many different like setups, but you only get to play each of them for 20 seconds. And each one is like a mini point and click adventure game. So you have a number of things you can interact with, and every time you're trying to defuse a bomb. McPixel is kind of like MacGyver or MacGruber. His primary method of interaction is kicking stuff. So you're like, the bomb is there, and you can always go up and kick the bomb, but you blow up every time, right? Or you can, you know, pick up the bomb and you know, buy a hot dog cart so you squeeze ketchup on it, and that causes it to erupt. And you know, or there's a guy, and you can kick him in the balls, and then he punches you, but that causes the bomb to fly out the window, and you're saved. And so it's each one of those, you have 20 seconds to play. So you get like a set of six, and you're playing through one and you die, obviously. And you play through the next and you die, obviously. And you get to the last one, it rotates back to the first and you have a chance to play it again. But you have to remember, oh, what did I do this time? And so it's
cool.
Kind of an interesting, six mini super fast point and click adventure games over and over and over again until you figure out how to do it.
Are there just six, or is there just a set of six of many?
I think it's of many. Okay. I have yet. You have to complete three to like. You have to complete three in a row and do it right. So if you complete one and you save yourself, then you go to the next one. And if you fail at that, then you lose credit for completing the first one. And you have to wait. And you have to amass three like completions without a failure mm-hmm. before you move to the next set of six, as I believe how the structure works.
That's very so, unique. It's
like a super cool structure for you.
Yeah. It's interesting.
I like that a lot. And what platform is that on?
PC.
Okay.
Or PC, Windows, Mac, Linux.
Yeah. Desra, Game Boy.
That's
TI 85.
I think it's Windows, Mac, Linux.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's good.
Sponsored by McDonald's.
Heart of the Swarm, which is the next StarCraft II expansion pack focusing on the Zerg race. The multiplayer beta has launched. But is only accessible to pros at this point.
This seems super weird to me.
Yeah, and how is that determined?
They somehow only launched to pros.
Well, they have a beta, and you get a beta key if you're on a pro team. It's not that weird. They want the best players in the world to beta test their game.
All right.
Like, that seems to make total sense to me. Because they're testing at this point for balance, right? It's not like they're testing the game. Like, they have the game working. It's not bugs that they're trying to work out. They're trying to... They're beta testing for balance. Like, is this unit overpowered? And it's really fun at this point in the game because, like, a million pros immediately started playing and they're all streaming live. So it's very fascinating if you're a fan of the game or just kind of a fan of game design to, like, start watching these pros trying to work all new strategies, units that drastically change how the game is played, all of a sudden trying a billion new strategies. So Wings of Liberty has been out for a long time and... They've gradually coalesced to a certain number of viable builds, and you know, it's pretty well balanced. And now they've all of a sudden thrown a lot of that out the window because they have these new units that radically change it. And Blizzard, once they go live, are very slow and deliberate to make balance changes. But while they're in beta, they make them incredibly rapidly, like at a moment's notice. So there's like patch after patch after patch coming out and just kind of being... up to speed on where they're at with the patches, like, oh, they introduced a new mech unit for Terran called the Warhound, which is like seemed way overpowered, so they're like nerfing it and nerfing it and nerfing it and trying to, you know, make it work in the system. So that's just been fun to kind of see and watch. And I love that because StarCraft is an esport and because there's a streaming infrastructure, I as a fan actually get to like witness that process. So
that's cool.
That's been cool. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds super cool.
So that's the gaming stuff that happened. The new iPhone came out today. Meh.
It's got LTE.
It's longer. It's got LTE.
It's taller.
Yeah.
It's slightly
taller.
It's got the camera takes panoramas now.
Camera's a little better.
Natively.
Yeah.
It's got a new plug.
It's not incredibly okay, so that's the iPhone. There you go. It
navigates.
Finally. I think it was interesting. I forget who it was, if it was The Verge or Gizmodo or whatever. Someone saying that it's not necessarily a problem, but the observation he was making is that the iPhone is a mature product now. And so for them to come out with incredibly revolutionary new things about it is tough. It's definitely more incremental. It's just, you know, the iPhone is out. Like, you can't wow people with the idea of an iPhone by the iPhone alone. So it's much harder to make. And they're playing catch up. They're obviously looking at the industry and seeing what other people are trying and incorporating stuff like the jailbreak community or Android phones
it's in a very evolutionary status now, no longer revolutionary. The hardware phone wise that I'm more interested in right now is the new Nokia. Is it the
Lumia 920?
Lumia 920.
5190, I think.
920, yeah. Snake.
The brick.
That thing hardware wise looks awesome. I mean, that thing looks so cool. Just in terms of design, I love that it's not just like, you know, a plastic rectangle with a glass front or, you know, aluminum and glass. Like, it's freaking yellow and is all, but it's also like milled out of aluminum. They just look really cool. That running Android would totally be like, that running Jelly Bean would be my next for sure if it existed, but it doesn't.
I'm still waiting for the molded dark matter phones.
Yeah.
Whenever that happens, then I'll be excited again.
Quantum coupling.
I kind of. I kind of made thought of light that itself. The HTC One X on AT&T that's white with the black screen sticking out has a lot of that same aesthetic.
So I got to handle that today, and the reason we were talking about that one versus the Sprint version of that phone, and the Sprint one is an aluminum frame, and that just feels so much better to me. So
I hate aluminum. I don't know how aluminum feels better to you guys than like
it's not the tactility, it's the solidity for me. Like if you take an iPhone and you twist it, it does not move. But like a plastic, and that phone felt a lot better than I was expecting it to, just in general. But a plastic flint frame phone, like when you twist it, it kind of like creaks and you hear little sounds and it moves a little bit. If you twist an iPhone, like it doesn't move. It's a chunk of aluminum. It feels so solid, and that's what I like. I like the feeling of solidity, not necessarily how it feels in your hand, but just that it feels like a solid object as opposed to like two shells of plastic that are snapped together that I feel could pop apart if I dropped it and that kind of thing.
I have to play devil's advocate and say, who twists phones?
I do, because that's part of like what I enjoy about the phone.
It's the twist test. What the? No.
All right, I see your point, yeah. But I literally like dislike the aluminum texture of MacBooks and such,
yeah,
and an iPhone.
I agree that a matte plastic, a soft touch plastic, can be very pleasurable, and that's, you know, the Nexus is like that. The Nexus 7 I'm referring to,
yeah, it's almost like leather. It's fucking
yeah, it feels
awesome.
Great. It's a cool. So yeah, that's fine. I'm less talking about that as opposed to the
One X is a little slippery. The yeah. back white, it feels a little too slippery.
I thought the touch of it was fine. I thought it felt good. It felt better. Like I said, it felt better than I expected. But I gave it a little twist. And it's kind of like creak. You just hear like these little, and like, oh, it's plastic.
Piece of shit.
So, yeah.
All right. I see your point.
Yeah. this is just a, you know, personal thing. I think it's just like a sense of quality. It's like a German car. You close the door, it thuds.
Yeah.
You're like, oh,
when I twist my car,
yeah,
it doesn't move.
Except BMWs are notoriously unreliable.
I'm talking about the feeling it gives you, not necessarily
I know, but
the
it's,
truth of it. Yeah.
It's, yeah, the opposite of the truth of the matter.
Yeah.
No. it's like crumple zones, you know. You want your car to be plastic
and
crumple. You don't
yeah.
want it to be a steel box anymore.
True enough. So last week I talked about Doctor Who. I don't want to say too much about it, except that episode 2 of this season was totally excellent. And if Mike, you are going to watch an episode, that is the one you should watch, because the one that I recommended, Blink, is probably the best episode of the show that they've done. It's like a little mini movie, and it's completely brilliant. But this one is a much more representative, representative of
so,
the show.
So
Josh,
if you watch this,
is
one,
Doctor Who better than Booth at the End?
So if you watch this
no,
one, you can
it isn't,
rest.
Is it?
You can rest easy knowing that there is at least one other episode that's better.
Yes, yeah, yes, you can. Okay. It's definitely in the very representative of what the show is like, and also totally fun and a good one, a good place to start. You don't have to know the character interaction, although, you know, it helps if you do a little bit, but you don't have to know all the history and everything.
Which season is
a fun one to start? The current season.
Yeah, what number?
Episode 2. 7, I think.
Okay.
Put it in the show notes. Yeah. I'll check it out.
Yeah, yeah. That's the one to go for.
What is it on? Is it on BBC America or something?
Yeah, it's on BBC America or thepiratebay.org.
Could you watch it in the same way that someone may have been able to watch the Olympics?
I would imagine so.
Okay. Yes. Good to know. Yes.
like, you mean if you lived in the UK?
Oh, as if
like your
computer's
IP address
originated
to
from the United Kingdom? Yes. Is that what you're saying?
Locate you within the
then you may be
aisles.
Able to watch bbc.co.uk video programs.
And that's two M's.
So the only other thing that happened kind of in the wider world, I don't
unicorns
know if you
everywhere.
Guys read Brendan Iyanbadejo, who is
nope.
a linebacker for the Baltimore Ravens. Did you hear about this Chris Clue and Brendan Iyanbadejo controversy?
Is that football?
Well, they are football players, but the controversy yeah. is about marriage equality. So
are they getting married?
They are not. Although that is probably the next step. Iyanbadejo
That's a cool name, by the way.
Spoke Out is pretty cool.
I like that name.
I'm guessing he's like Pacific Islander, Samoan or something.
And it's definitely not Bidejo. It's Bidejo.
It is Bidejo. I heard an interview with him.
It's not Pendejo.
It is not Pendejo either, although I'm sure that joke is getting made on right-wing internet forums on a semi-constant basis.
El Roasty.
Is he in an interview spoke out in favor of marriage equality? And then
a
Baltimore, an elected official, I'm not sure, I think it's like, I don't know, state senator from Maryland or something like that, wrote the Ravens management and basically told them that they needed to censor their players and make them shut the fuck up. And Chris Clue, who is a punter for the Minnesota Vikings, wrote an open letter to that guy, also in support of marriage equality, which a very profane letter, but actually exceedingly well written.
That's the one that I read.
Yes. And it's a great letter. I just have a short little section of it.
Is this going to have profanity in it?
Yes. He says...
Warning listeners.
He actually has quite a number of...
Should have said at the beginning of the show.
Makes quite a number of good points and also peppers in some profanity,
more things need to be peppered.
He says, I can assure you that gay people getting married will have zero effect on your life. They won't come into your house and steal your children. They won't magically turn you into a lustful cock monster. They won't even overthrow the government in an orgy of hedonistic debauchery because all of a sudden they have the same legal rights as the other 90% of society. So it sort of goes on in that vein. Really well done.
Throbbing vein.
I must commend these guys because I think that is kind of one of the last bastions of sort of completely accepted like homophobia is the professional sport locker room. It's basically like, you know, I don't know. I get the sense that coming out into that environment is probably like the hardest place where you could come out.
Besides high school.
Yeah, it's almost... It depends on the high school.
Or like your parents.
Yes. I think coming out in a high school in Southern California is probably not so bad, you know?
You know, I don't know. And I bet it depends on the school.
It definitely depends on the school.
And the year.
Yeah. But like there's no more hyper-masculine like zone than that. So
or like a pro wrestler coming out.
I guess, yeah.
I don't know that, that doesn't actually seem too surprising. I don't know. What's weird is it seems really ironic because there's just as much like almost seemingly latent homosexuality in a bunch of sweaty men grappling themselves on national TV.
Yeah.
Which I know gets pointed out.
The classic joke about boxing is it's, you know, two ripped up guys fighting over a person, a belt.
Right. That's so good. I like that. Was that an Adam Carolla joke?
No. That's a classic, like 1920s, like vaudeville type joke. Yeah.
Okay. Nice.
Anyway, I just very approving of this. You know, those guys who have been in the league for a long time and have made their money and can like actually speak out and start to make it okay in yet another part of our society. So that was cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. So that's what happened,
dude.
We are gonna move on.
Are we ready for? Ready for the mailbag?
Yeah.
All right, hit it.
Do you have the mailbags ready?
I have it.
This week, I'm going to sing the mailbag in the style of an 80s power ballad. Mailbag, mailbag, we're going to open the mailbag.
Mail, 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 mail. That was a horrible solo. Okay.
I know. Why couldn't you do it as well as Mike, Charles?
Mail. Okay, so we actually got some email. This is great. This is like several shows in a row. I think we got some mail.
We got two.
We got two.
First time ever.
All right, I'm gonna go first. Actually, no. Josh, you go first. I want to go second.
Do you have it prepped?
I'm ready. Are you not prepped yet?
Oh, and I didn't. We didn't talk about
which is going first and which is second.
Well, I thought you really wanted to go, but I'll go first. All right. So we got an email from full disclosure, Jessica Crawford. The wife of one Chaz Crawford on this podcast hosting. She writes an email. The subject is Lost a Listener. And when I read that, I was like, oh shit, Jessica stopped listening to our podcast. That's horrible.
We need every listener we can get.
Yeah. No, I was actually really depressed just reading that subject line. I almost didn't want to read the email. So she says, hey guys, love your podcast, and not just because I'm married to Chaz. Sadly, his son can no longer listen to, quote, Daddy on the Radio, unquote, because there are way too many F-bombs dropped for a 2-year-old's good. for your next show, you should replace fuck with friend so that we can all happily listen. Stop friending around, Jess.
Hi, honey.
Yeah. So I actually wrote back to her, but I'll just paraphrase what I said, which was...
Paraphrase.
Yes.
That's when you get two fries.
Yes. I'm going to McDonald's this bitch. So as you can tell, we like to swear. I don't think any of us do it consciously because we want to make this a profane podcast, but we podcast like we talk, and we swear that there, it's out there. You know, it's not like something I'm proud of, but it's not something that I'm going to hide. And of course, we want our podcast to be listened to as many people as possible, I think. You know, we don't want to purposely exclude anybody, but, you know, we knew from the beginning this was a mature podcast. We're going to swear. I think it would be very difficult and probably unfun to try to censor ourselves and never swear. So, you know, I don't really think, honestly, it's possible to maintain the integrity of the show we want to do and be totally clean. I don't know.
Thoughts,
what do you guys think?
What do you think?
What are your fucking thoughts, Josh? Sorry, Jess.
I'll play devil's advocate and say that I think we could do the show without cursing. But you know, it would be a little bit different. For example, Charles wouldn't be able to quote
lustful cock monster.
Which would ruin that whole bit. It wouldn't make any sense.
Right? I mean, that was in the news. We'd have to do the NPR thing where where we, like, you know, bleep it out or we say it starts with a C. And then your mind is going to roam.
It's like, C wow. hyphen M.
You know?
The C hyphen M word.
Yeah, it, you know, in an ideal world, you know, words are words and they don't break bones like sticks or something. And
when was the last time you had a bone broken by a stick? Seriously. Who breaks bones with sticks? How weak are you? Sorry.
You know, we'd all have thinner skins, but I know I don't have a kid yet. My opinion might change if I had a kid. I understand. I don't cuss in front of my niece and nephew. It's not hard to not cuss. It's just more fun to cuss.
I do agree that we could. I actually agree that we could do this. We could do the show. I don't think it would be that hard. I don't. It's not the show that I want to do. I did like the idea that, you know, it's just sort of heartwarming. Actually, I drove Charlie home today, and he asked to listen to Daddy on the radio.
Aww.
In the car on the way, and I didn't have an episode of the show on my phone. I'm like, I said, like, I actually told him I could just talk, like, it's me. He's like, no, Daddy on the radio. I'm like, oh, sorry. You know, and I was driving, so I couldn't, like, download an episode of the show as I drove.
Your voice is useless unless compressed through the MPEG layer 3 protocol.
But yeah, it's the show that we want to do is us talking about stuff, right? We're shooting the shit to all of the to the full extent that the shit can be shot.
Yeah, you know, I'm curious, like, because you know, I don't know when swearing became, you know, frequent in my speech. I don't know when I started using it like regularly. So I feel like there must have been a time when I didn't swear that much, and I can't imagine it was only when I left home that I started, but maybe that's really what did it. I went away to college, and everybody was doing whatever the hell they wanted,
yeah,
and so
college.
It just kind of...
Yeah.
Which... But I mean, like, I feel like...
I mean, that's when you started slamming heroin and you know, murdering
right,
hookers.
Right.
So it probably came along with all that.
But yeah. You must be able to control it. I mean, what about at work in front of your boss? Do you curse right to your boss?
Yeah, probably not. But that's a short amount of time, and that's not... It's, yeah, it's a totally different environment. I think it would be difficult in this environment where we feel safe to say what we want and to not let it slip because it's normal. Like, I don't necessarily think, what's the most profane way I can describe this next thing? You know, I don't try to pepper my speech with swear words. It just, it happens. Like I said, you know, that's how I talk.
Also, with regard to my son, I literally come here every week so as to not have to think about him for a couple hours, right? Like, that is one of the things that I
fuck
cherish
you,
about this time. And so I don't want to have to think about not swearing so that he can listen to it.
It's your time to let off steam.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and I mean, but you could say it's not just to save your son from our profane mouths, but just to anybody who maybe is not interested in listening to guys swear. And you know, I don't even think we swear a lot, but we swear enough to for someone to write in and say, hey, stop swearing.
Yeah.
So,
you know.
I don't know. Sorry, Jess.
It is what it is.
I mean, it would be nice, but I don't think it's going to happen. So, when CV gets older, yeah. How old do you think he's got to be before he can listen to our podcast?
Legitimately, I don't know. 15, 16, kind of deal.
He starts frequently swearing.
I have actually archived all the episodes that I have downloaded. So
excellent.
They're there to be listened to. I may go back at some time.
Well, Jessica, thank you for your email. Anybody else has thoughts on this? Send us your message.
Yeah, if you agree with her or us. Yeah. All right, we got another mailbag.
All right, in the style of...
Oh, Jesus. No, I'm not saying it again.
Church gospel.
Don't do it again.
Done and done. Okay.
Now, this was actually addressed specifically to you, Charles, so I don't know if, you know...
We can't speak, apparently.
If I should read the whole thing or just paraphrase it.
Just read it, unless it's super long.
Is it something different? Oh, yeah, no, go ahead.
Yeah, this is not
what it is. Read whatever. Yeah, I remember, yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, this is from Kevin. He says, Charles, hope all is well. I really need your advice as a gamer. Feel free to discuss this. Oh, there he says it.
Oh, right.
David, my 11-year-old son, has been playing Lord of the Rings Online for several months. A while ago, he asked us to pay for 12 months of VIP access for $100. My feeling was that there must be better value in other types of games. After much debate, we settled on letting him save his allowance to purchase a 6-month membership. Lotro now is releasing an expansion pack he wants to buy. And there's different levels, and you can pay up to, like, $70. The only reason I'm even considering letting him get this is that it is his money, although I don't want to let my son get duped into continually spending more money. As a veteran parent, I have no problem just saying, no, you can't have that. But I'd rather say, look, try this or this or this, and keep your money. Any advice would be appreciated, especially on where he should be spending his hard-earned gaming dollars or what games he should be trying out as a fan of fantasy MMO.
Yeah, so maybe we can answer this one without swearing so that David can listen to it. My initial thoughts on reading this message and this is how I responded to Kevin. I bet Josh is going to advocate for Guild Wars 2 from the value perspective because you pay for it one time and you don't have the service fee. But B, people get super attached to their MMOs, and particularly if he's playing with a guild or a group of, you know, specific group of friends who all play that game, then it kind of doesn't matter, right? You know, maybe there is a better game out there, but if it's the one that you and all your friends play, then, I mean, there are people still playing Ultima Online and EverQuest 1 and
or
whatever
RuneScape.
Else. Or what?
Oh my god, RuneScape.
RuneScape.
I can't believe people are playing RuneScape.
Yeah. Anyway.
So, yeah, that's almost exactly what I was going to say. Yeah. Basically, if you are into an MMO for social reasons, if you're playing with people, you know, friends that maybe you've just made through the game and you only talk to online via an online chat program, whether, you know, text or voice, Mumble, TeamSpeak, etc., you know, you're playing it for primarily that reason, and you can't really convince someone to play a different game unless... all your friends move, right? Yeah. So, and if you're invested in the theme of that game, and Lotro is not a bad game, it's a good game. I know people that played it quite a bit. I only played the free to play very, very briefly at low level.
It has a good reputation.
It's successful enough, especially since it went free to play. It actually made more money and got more subscribers, mm-hmm. that they're coming out with an expansion. That's like a sign of them being successful, mm-hmm. continuing to support it, updating it, etc. And I know people excited about the expansion, too. So I'm sure it's not bad, and I can't really do anything to convince someone not to play it if they're super into that. So, you know, if he's super into it for whatever reason, I would encourage Kevin to... you know, use it as an opportunity to learn about saving money and spending money wisely, mm-hmm, and such. Mm-hmm. So one example of that would be that in those price structures of the expansion, where it's like $40 for the expansion or $60 or $70 for the expansion plus a nice horse, mm-hmm. and like $10 of money to spend in the store and like an extra bag slot or something. I forgot. That's pretty much what it was. I forgot the specifics. Mm-hmm. You know, the $40 value for this huge amount of programming content, you know, that people worked on for years.
Yeah.
Right. Compared to like one more horse and bag in the game.
Yeah.
Right. That $30 for the horse and bag or whatever is probably not worth it.
Uh-huh.
So it's, you know, the $40 is actually a really good value, but it does. This is a free-to-play game. You can play like without paying a monthly fee, but it's one of those things where they make it inconvenient in a few ways.
Right.
And you really do want to pay a subscription fee, which is kind of the standard in the industry. Most games require you to pay at least a little bit monthly. This one like locks off certain abilities, certain classes, certain amounts of money. Like you literally can't have more than a couple gold on you unless you pay monthly, or unless you buy something from the store. You can buy like a gold unlock from the store maybe for $10 or mm-hmm. something. Maybe that would be better value than paying monthly if that's specifically the hurdle that you're bumping up into. Anyway, there are options. So look at those prices and discuss them with him. But yeah, if you know, if part of the intent of letting him play games, you know, is maybe he's super interested in programming or game making, and in the future he might want to do that professionally or something. You know, part of that is being on the cutting edge and looking at new developments in game making, and the most revolutionary MMO out there right now is Guild Wars 2.
Yeah.
And it's $60 and then free.
And it's $60 one time.
One time.
Yeah.
Right? And anything that costs money, like the bag slots or the new more character slots or whatever, you can actually buy with in-game money by just buying gems that other people bought with cash. You just trade like in-game money for the cash, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So that's super cool. So you could literally make money playing one of the games like that, like Diablo 3 or Guild Wars 2, where there's an exchange system in the game to use game money to get basically real money.
I think the most successful Diablo 3 player at the moment has made like 10,000 bucks.
Yeah, just made 10,000.
Uh-huh. So... that's pretty awesome.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, if this whole discussion was a Twitter thread, I would just retweet Josh.
Yeah.
it's pretty hard to make money in Guild Wars 2 right now, as I'm, you know, as far as I'm aware. I know there are ways to work the auction house. It's a unique auction house. It's a unique economy. Because, you know, where the money sinks are, and where the production of money is, you know, which things are over and undervalued, is different in every game. It's a dramatically different economy than other games. But there are always ways to look at the market house, find things that are overvalued or undervalued, and like just buy them and repost them for a different price, you know, and you can make money that way. It's pretty interesting.
Cool. Yeah. So if you're into LOTRO because of a group of friends who all play it, then I would say, you know, keep going with it, because that's where you want to be. But Guild Wars sounds like a good option as far as, you know, the newest, the, you know, most different, etc.
Yes.
Cool.
Retweet.
Retweet. Also retweet what Charles said. All right. Awesome. Are we done with him? With Kevin?
Sure.
All right. So we haven't done one of these in a long time. And since we don't really have a topic otherwise, I figured now is a good time to throw this in. I don't know if this is going to be much conversation, but I have to get it off my chest.
Mike, what's your thing?
So,
what's not your thing?
So, I have a not my thing. I don't think we've done this since like episode 3 or something. So, it's come up a couple times, but I just want to do a more general statement that infinite runners are not my thing.
One.
These are not my thing. I have tried many. The classic one that most people may have gotten into it because of was Cannibalt.
Yeah.
But there's also Temple Run. There's also Jetpack Joyride. There's
Monster Bash.
There's Monster Bash. There's Robot Unicorn. Zombie Unicorn or whatever attack. Now, I just want to say I've played a lot of them. And in general, they're okay. And I've enjoyed my time with them. Especially Robot Unicorn Attack.
Because of the song.
Of the song. Yeah. I really just like the song that plays in the background. But in general, I kind of see them like a rogue-like. in that, you know, they're sort of a, okay, let's see how good I can do on my run. You know, they're like, let's do a run. Let's try to improve on my last run. Some of them are worse than others. But in general, I just feel this, I don't know, coming from the guy who's playing two free-to-play games on my iPad right now, it sounds pretty preposterous, but I just find them very unsatisfactory or unfulfilling, and I'm just like, oh, as soon as I realize it's an infinite runner, like I did with Jetpack Joyride and like I did with Temple Run, I'm like, oh, okay, there's really not that much depth to this. I'm pretty bored. Like, as soon as I realize the structure, I'm bored. You know, the one that really pissed me off was they redid Pitfall, the original Pitfall from the Atari, as an iOS game, and it's an infinite runner now. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, oh, this could have been interesting, but no, it's just an infinite runner because that's popular. That's a popular game type right now. And I'm just, I think I found, much like MMOs, except to a much higher degree, infinite runners are not my thing. Why should they be my thing? What's wrong?
Ready? Ready for me to destroy your argument?
you mean you're ready to destroy my opinion with your own opinion?
Yes, your opinion is demonstrably wrong. You love infinite runners like none other because you love Tiny Wings. End of story. Tiny Wings is an infinite runner. It's a well-executed one where while you're playing, any given moment that you are, you know, tapping the screen or letting go of the screen and waiting for the next tap is just very, very engaging. Because you're engaged for every given second, even from the beginning of a Tiny Wings level, even staying on the hills perfectly, getting nice launches off every one of the initial hills is a little easier, but it still requires precise timing. And it's good pacing. It gets harder, but then you can last like maybe 2 minutes or something like that. And it gets super hard, and you don't fail immediately when you make a mistake. You can survive like bumping off a couple hills a couple times. And then if you get a couple of super fast launches in a row, then you recharge that little sun meter a tiny mm-hmm. bit, and there's levels and there's like new challenges every time you play. It's like, you know, try to get this new thing. Do you get like 6 speed jumps in a row or whatever the heck, right? It is exactly an infinite runner. It's just a very, very good one. It's I only thought of this because of Jetpack Joyride and how I really, really, really enjoyed Jetpack Joyride for about 1 week. And then I burnt out on it because it just isn't, it's like so close to being perfect. It's just that at the beginning, it's too slow and unengaging. And then it's perfect for about 10 seconds or something. And then at the end, it's too fast and impossible. And because of the randomness of the yellow, like things you need to dodge, instead of them being a little more predictable and a little more like get in the groove of dodging them, it's more like just stare at it and react as fast as you can. And at some point it gets so fast that you don't, it's literally impossible to have reaction time fast enough to dodge things that you can't see until it's too late, no matter how fast you are. So it's just like Jetpack Joyride is flawed and Tiny Wings is well executed. So you love infinite runners.
Okay. I love Tiny Wings. I think I hate most infinite runners. I will give you that. Tiny Wings is the best infinite runner by far. The moment that you reminded me about the tapping, I will say I haven't played it in a while, but that's just because I've already played it a bunch. Most infinite runners, I think, have two major problems with them, is that the main interaction, which, you know, the one button gameplay, is just a jump, it's the same, roughly the same jump every time. It's just a repetitive jump, and that gets really boring pretty quickly.
It's interesting because Tiny Wings, it's essentially the same thing, except it's a dive instead of a jump.
But right. In fact, Jetpack Joyride has like more than 10 different types of jumps because you change like vehicles all the time.
Yeah.
You can like equip jet boots that like make your jump initially a lot faster. You can
gravity boots that make you drop
faster. You can equip all these different consumables that do weird things. So your jump, I think, is actually super interesting in that like you hover with rocket boots, even
with continuous tapping. If you have the gravity suit, you can constantly flip back and forth.
It's
and
a lot like, better than like Cannonball, for example.
Now remind me though, because I barely played Jetpack Joyride. Is it still a one hit kill or one hit death kind of thing?
Close. It's almost one hit. It would be improved by not being quite as punishing.
Right.
When you are in a vehicle...
Each vehicle gives you...
Your vehicle is like one extra life.
Right.
Yeah. And so you can get hit in a vehicle and then...
Continue
a little right. longer.
So I guess it's really three things. The second and the third thing kind of go together. Two, the one-hit kills of most Infinite Runners, that's annoying.
Yes.
And three, the ramping up of difficulty...
The
exponential ramping of difficulty, especially in like Cannibalt and in Robot Unicorn Attack. Temple Run, I don't recall it having that, but it does have the one hit kill and the uninteresting jumping. So yeah, Tiny Wings wins because it has interesting jumping that reminds me a lot of Just Cause 2's main transportation.
The rhythmic style.
Like, and the, you know,
true. Yeah,
That is awesome. So that mechanic is really fun, regardless of what kind of game it is. And two, there is not a one-hit kill. And three, there is not a ramping up of difficulty.
There is.
There's totally a ramp.
It's just the ramp is well executed.
But it's also with a timer.
When it's easy at the beginning of the ramp, it's still engaging, though. That's part of the key.
Yeah.
A lot of games are too boring.
I think the difficulty changes, too.
Beginning of the ramp.
Like, there are certain islands that have much... you know, shorter jumps, hops, and then others which have more, you know, like longer ones, so you can get more of a...
Each island has a different feel to it in terms of the types of hills that are there. The difference, I think, between Tiny Wings, a key difference, I think you're both right in that the pacing is key, and the difference is that Tiny Wings is a game about perfection, and most other Infinite Runners are games about reactions.
Mm.
So Tiny Wings, you have a long time. You're in the air for most of the time, and then you're trying to perfect your technique of, you know, picking out the hill that you want to land on, knowing how you're going to react as soon as you touch and go into your dive to hit your swoop out the other side, and just perfecting that technique. It's very rhythmic, and most of the time you're doing nothing, right? And yet you're still very engaged and watching very carefully for where you're going to go. Whereas all these other games are like, you know, I'm running as fast as I can, and then an obstacle pops up and I have to avoid it really quick, right? And it's just about reacting quickly, and basically you have less and less time to react until you're done. Whereas Tiny Wings, the mechanic is always the same. The kind of slow pace of that is always the same, and you have a limited time in which to complete this task, you know, based on, you know, when the sun goes down. But you're never having to react harder or faster or, you know, so I think it's the difference between perfection versus reaction. I've always liked games about perfection.
A very salient point. Yes.
True pants.
So yeah. I will amend my initial statement that most Infinite Runners are not my thing because of those three things I mentioned. Tiny Wings is a great exception because it does not violate those things in my opinion, but most of them do, except for Robot Unicorn Attack, which is fun because of that goddamn song.
Yeah.
And
it's the Gangnam style of
it really, of Infinite Runners. Yeah.
And it's also just hilarious.
Stylistically,
you don't get angry when you die. You get like excited when you die. Cause you see that robot,
unicorn head
like fly at the screen. And then,
So
and constant erasure,
right? Erasure. I was trying to think of the band name. Yeah. That much like Wayne's World gave Bohemian Rhapsody an entirely new lease on life.
Yeah,
Erasure.
I wonder if they actually licensed the Erasure song in order to play it, because I recall that being a pretty popular song.
Could they have put it out without licensing it?
It was just some like cheesy thing on Newgrounds originally, wasn't it? Like,
I don't know.
I think
know.
It was Adult Swim.
I know it's Adult Swim who developed it, but was it always like on their website?
Yeah,
it was just like some flash game before it was thing on iOS and Android and whatever else.
But it was
always
Adult Swim flash thing.
Yeah, it wasn't Newgrounds.
Like Adult Swim has this curated flash game section of their website,
which most of them are awesome.
They're super awesome, and they're totally unique IPs.
What's the Ice Cream Wolf one?
Yeah.
Ice Cream Wolf?
Ice Cream Werewolf or something.
Oh my god, that game is awesome.
It's like one
so
of the best,
creepy.
It's just called Cream Wolf.
Cream
That's
Wolf.
That's right, yeah.
And
which is even weirder.
You'd think that if...
That is a really gross title.
I think I have to try that someday.
If you never played it?
No. A Cream Wolf.
Oh. Is that a move?
Doesn't it sound like one, though? When you pull a cream wolf?
I thought it was just a cool ice cream bar, Mike. Jesus.
Yeah, you'd think that Adult Swim having a website with Flash games, they'd recycle their IPs that are popular on TV and make them into games, but they didn't. They hired like really good game developers to come up with brand new concepts of gameplay and of characters and theme and everything, and they're brilliant. There's a whole section there, so that's where it started. It didn't start as some bullshit.
Well, I wasn't saying it started as some bullshit.
It started as some good bullshit.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to get back on track here. Like, am I wrong in not liking the Infinite Runners that fail on those three accounts? Like, do you agree with me that they're not good because of those reasons, or you like them?
I agree that a lot of them are not good, mostly because they are just... A lot of them are, you know, Me Too kind of bloatware stuff. It's just like, Infinite Runners are popular. Let me, you know, get something out there so that I can cash in on it. As always with games, good game design and thoughtful game design makes stuff better. So, yeah, I think a lot of them are pretty bad. I do like Jetpack Joyride a lot, mostly because of... you know, an actual surprising amount of depth, particularly with all the different robot suits.
It has
suits
a lot of depth,
and,
yeah.
And that stuff. But as you say, the difficulty ramps too fast, and they just don't get, you don't have enough time to play in that sweet spot zone where you can react quickly and you feel skillful. Like, that zone is too short, and therefore...
That's key.
Whereas you're basically in that 99% of the time in Tiny Wings.
That's the whole game.
Right, you immediately get into that sweet spot. The whole game is that sweet spot.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It gets hard at the end.
It's weird that more Infinite Runner games... This is the thing, though. I was going to say, why don't more of them copy Tiny Wings? Because they seem to be crazy popular, despite being flawed in these ways. Like, a lot of people seem to like these flawed games. They like Tiny Wings, which is super popular, but they also like the incredibly flawed version,
well,
which I don't understand.
Well, people like slot machines.
Right. They do feel like... They're like slot machines with a time limit or something.
I mean, Jetpack Joyride literally has a slot machine in it.
And yeah, but I don't see the connection with slot machines.
It's random.
And an
it's
infinite
runner. It's too random. It
doesn't feel like enough skill. It's more chance.
We mentioned a few of the things. We mentioned the reaction time.
Yeah.
And the difficulty curve.
Right.
But part of it is also the randomness. And Tiny Wins is relatively predictable. The randomness is just a little bit in like where the coins are, maybe the staggering of the hills a little bit. But
there's
pretty predictable.
Tiny Wings, that version is randomized once per day. So once every 24 hours, there's a new set.
That's a key, unique way of randomization.
Yeah.
Anyway, Jetpack Joyride randomizes everything. So you never know where the yellow thing is. So it's a pure like reaction time. Same as Cannonbolt and a bunch of the imitators that have that flaw.
Yeah.
Whereas like the Impossible game is an infinite runner that has zero randomness. And it's super effing hard. It's instant kill. It's
It's not actually an infinite runner. Technically, it's a leveled. It's a level.
You're right. It's not infinite.
Yeah. There is an
but
end.
It's virtually identical.
Yeah.
It's
just most people don't get to the
end. It's basically it's basically infinite because nobody gets to the end.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah.
Right. So it has some of these bad aspects, but it fixes them by it being this single non-randomized challenging course that you could memorize.
No, it's because of the song.
That is also an
the music
song.
In that game is why you keep coming back to that shit.
It's both.
No, it's the song.
The song's good, but you can play it.
It's a horrible song, but
I
love it.
You can play it on practice mode with with the wrong music, not timed well.
Right.
Or you can play it muted, and it's still good.
Yeah. You know, technically, if we want to get reductive about it, Mario Brothers is an infinite runner.
Right? Well, you can go left. I don't think
that's true. You can't go left.
Especially Josh, you really got into the infinite game, whereas I gave up pretty quickly because of
the impossible game.
Yeah. The one hit kill.
I think Charles might have done better than me.
I think we both got to the 2-3 spike.
I got
jumps.
Past that once.
I got past that a couple times, but then
maybe a couple times.
It's so hard to get past that it's like impossible to practice later on, and so.
Well, you can go to practice mode. And
I know, but
it
sucks to play it in practice
because you want the song,
you want the music,
the speed.
Yeah. Just too hard.
Yeah, that game's almost more legend than.
Did you play the other two levels?
No, I never even, because I never wanted to play those. I know they exist and I know that it flips the gravity and I've seen them, but I never wanted to spend time in them because I just wanted to like get good at and practice at and beat the first one. Yeah.
Okay. So I never wanted to like practice or look on YouTube beyond where I've legitimately gotten on the first one, right? So I still have never seen the end. I've never looked it up on YouTube or whatever.
Yeah.
So I understand your motivation.
If you watch it one time, like, but you get no information.
But numbers 2 and 3 are like unique games, and they're worth just starting
trying
over.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
like starting a whole new thing.
Yeah.
And then do the same thing there. Like, if you don't want to practice or cheat on there, do it on each of those. Mm-hmm. But they're totally worth playing because they're also like two totally cool other songs.
Yeah. That game's good. The Impossible game. People, check it out.
Fucking A.
Yeah. Xbox Live indie game and available also, I think, on iOS and maybe Android.
So. Yeah. And Android.
Yeah.
And it seems like a really good touch-based game because it's just tap, tap, tap. You don't need a controller to play that game.
It's hard. I find it harder on the touchscreen.
The touchscreen, your thumb is freaking obscuring part of what's coming.
Yeah. You can't just put it like in the top left so it's not obscuring.
Yeah, but I want to be tapping with my right thumb and that's in the way.
In fact, I do better literally with a guitar instead of the Xbox controller.
That's how we played it with the guitar the first time.
I play with my index finger on a guitar still if I'm going to play that game instead of my thumb.
Because
I do better with my index finger for timing and the button response.
Because you're constantly clicking on a mouse. Tap, 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 tap. You're not doing it with your thumb.
It might maybe because I've had more practice in Guitar Hero than Busta Groove.
All right.
Which was the last rhythm game I played with my thumbs or something.
Cool. All
right. Thanks for that discussion, guys.
Well, that's been the show. That has been the Escort Mission. Thank you for listening. Once again, if you're going to buy something, please go to our website, theescortmission.com, click on the Amazon link, and give us a little piece of the action so we can continue bringing you the programming you've come to know and love.
The 20th episode, guys.
The 20th episode.
20 episodes.
Woo!
Totally.
Nice. Yeah. Write us. We've got 2 mailbag questions this week.
Mail very good. At theescortmission.com. Keep it coming.
Tell a friend about the show. Thanks for listening.
Peace.
Thanks.